I feel like I've shaken that now.
Can't
But like, you
relate.
know, the idea of saying stupid things in front of smart people, like, really was the thing that got me. And I take this back to an old, sorry, we're gonna start the show this way, but I take this back to an old high school story where I think it was like a smart people, smart kid field trip or something, because we were at a Red Lobster and there was a bunch of smart kids there. And for whatever reason, in my brain, like, in my family, brisket was not a real thing. I don't know if I've told this story before, but brisket was
No.
something I've never heard of. And so in my mind, like the fat kid mind that I was, yeah, brisket, I just made a combination. It's like a bready style of biscuit. And I was like, oh, that Red Lobster cheddar biscuit, that must mean that's brisket. And
That makes sense.
so I referenced it a couple of times at this table with a bunch of smart people, a few of them white. And like, you know, thank you, Eve Modjeluski and Kareen Williams. It's probably not
Oh
their
my
last names now, but for
lord.
not yelling at me and laughing at me in my face. But I did that. Like, I did that. And then,
Not
like,
this
years
arm.
later, I
That's
was
fine.
so shamed, right? And so on Wednesday, I said Mr. Bean. What I meant to say was, now I can't even remember it now. What is it? The one
Benny
with the crazy
Hill. Benny
music?
Hill?
Benny Hill.
Benny Hill. There you
And I'm
go.
just like,
Oh.
oh man, there must be
So
so many white people laughing at me right now.
next
And like, yeah.
next week.
So yeah, I'm embarrassed by that
Next
one.
week,
Sorry
when you
about
come
that.
on, you can tell us how you're embarrassed by how you forgot the name of the show again while you were telling us about how you were embarrassed that you
I
said
know, right? I've really got to get like a tattoo
the
right here that says Benny Hill or
Benny
something.
Hill.
So
Yeah.
anyway,
Well,
sorry about that,
fortunately,
guys.
I mean,
Profusely
I think we
apologize.
all have those things that we can't forget. And damn it, concussions. Why can't you make me forget the things that I'm embarrassed by? Like, I forget the good stuff. I want to forget the bad stuff.
We need a Morty's Mind Blowers episode.
Oh, I'm deep into Rick and Morty right now. Just
Oh,
started season
yeah, man.
five.
It's the
Freaking
best.
love that
Oh,
show.
it's the
Why didn't
best. So
why are you
good.
white people
Just
keeping that from me?
the joke density. And welcome to Debatable, by the way, a fake television show that is named after a combination of one word, debate, another word also involving the word bait. It's a show where we debate nothing. And Alabaster, how are you feeling today? It's Mother's Day weekend, man.
That was a not your best jump pass, but I'm feeling
Yeah.
great. And
Straight out of bounds.
we're going to start today with we're actually going to talk about the Miami Heat, but
Oh.
from the perspective of the 76ers. And
Of the other team, of course, yes.
Joel Embiid has cleared concussion protocol, and there's optimism that he'll play. How much of a chance would you give the 76ers tonight if he does return?
So we are getting, and by the way, it was masturbate. That was the joke I was making. We are getting breaking news that Joel Embiid is scared. You guys got that? Oh, okay. We're getting breaking news via a competitor newsbreaker, Shams Charania, that Embiid has cleared concussion protocols. And there is optimism that'll play tonight. This is exactly, I mean, I don't even remember what the question was. I was too busy doing the thing I joked about
Yeah.
us
How
doing. good are the Miami Heat, I believe, was the
Yeah.
question.
It's, do they stand a chance of winning today?
Of course
Is
they
the
do.
question.
Of course they do. If the guy who has been the missing MVP in this series, the best player in this series, shows up, albeit with the whole broken face thing with the mask on.
In the broken shooting ligament, like it's also like it's not just one break. There are lots of breaks. It's a much lesser MVP. Even though he is as good as he is, he's a lesser version against a better team. I don't know. Like they could still lose this game too. It might be they might have a better chance if he doesn't show up because
What are you doing?
maybe they catch the Heat in a lull because him showing up and the Heat seeing him is a energy boost. Like I don't think they win with him. Like to be honest with you, given the
You're
state of
advocating
this.
a play dead approach.
What
So
else
the
you
whole
got?
idea
Have
of
you been
like,
watching these
okay.
games?
Unfortunately, but what you're saying is like, you know, when an animal approaches you in the woods,
Hustle.
there's fight or flight. Dominique's saying just pee yourself and just hope that they get distracted.
Hey, are you going to eat a
Well,
pissy animal? I'm not.
I mean,
Not gonna make a
the
James Harden joke
last
for you.
time the Miami Heat were in Philadelphia, stop it, Pablo. The Philadelphia 76ers were urine-soaked animal. They were without Joel Embiid. They were without James Harden. And the Miami Heat lost that game. So absolutely they can win without Joel Embiid or with Joel Embiid. I don't know if having him is going to make things any better, though, because if you think about it, like you mentioned the finger, the face, and all this stuff, and like you're coming in supposedly trying to be the hero. So they're going to give you the ball. The Heat's going to give you all the attention you want. And you're probably not going to be Joel Embiid, you know, his MVP-ness. Probably going to be the hurt version of Joel Embiid. No, and that's not going to, not really going to work out. Yeah, it doesn't matter if he plays or doesn't. I think,
great pause by
I think he wants to play more so. I think he wants to play more so to just make a statement to Ben Simmons.
So proud,
more than anything else. Like, look, everything's broken. I'm playing.
What a Friday.
Or you did it.
Gross. DeAndre Jordan, minus 31. That's awesome. In 30 minutes. I had an observation about that DeAndre Jordan that I didn't make last time we were all together. Is how could he look so young in the face, yet look so old in the way that he moves? Like, he and Doc Rivers, they cut back and forth. And the way that they move is very similar. It's like a whole...
He's like a bizarro pit bull.
Yeah.
Dominique, there are whole edits. There are whole edits of defensive possessions with him literally doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, he's just kind of defending with his eyes. And then the play is behind him. And it's like, all right, next possession. It's crazy. Like, this guy was the scariest athlete in the league. And now he's just kind of like Groot sitting there in the middle of the lane, not really moving.
Alabaster's putting lots of really embarrassing stats up there. But I don't care about that at all. I would like to play a game. It's called Make It Make Sense. It's a game I just discovered or just created. And I need one of you to make it make sense. Like, find the rationale, because I can't find one. The rationale for giving DeAndre Jordan extended minutes. What is the strategy? And tanking doesn't count. Trying to get fired so you can coach LeBron for the Lakers, that doesn't count. I need a real strategy from one of you for why he keeps playing him as if he thinks it's going to help him win.
I unfortunately have asked myself this question a lot, and I do have a theory of Doc Rivers, right? Because this is a question about why is Doc Rivers making decisions that lead to bad outcomes, even though everybody is predicting those outcomes are going to be bad. And he is the sort of dad who likes to lose his way. It's like, you're not living your life optimally. Like, you should learn how to...
Don't use GPS. He's the no
GPS
dad.
Exactly. That's exactly where... Your GPS and my GPS are...
You'll never learn
it's my uncle. Got it.
On that phone. Yeah, I've heard that before.
And, yeah, unfortunately,
and my dad's right. I don't know where my neighborhood is, but I always know where my phone is.
Unfortunately, the neighborhood that Doc Rivers is driving around, it's a haunted cul-de-sac named DeAndre Jordan. Like, all he's doing is the same stuff over and over and over again, and he should look at the technology in front of him, but he's uncomfortable by that. I think it's the thing, Dominique, also, like, there's this larger question too of, right, okay, you're Doc Rivers, you're missing Joel Embiid, get that interjection card the hell away from me for 5 seconds, Alabaster. I'm about to make, I think, hopefully a better point than my cul-de-sac metaphor. But the whole point of the Sixers is that you're missing your MVP, you need to increase variance, right? Like, when you don't have Joel, you should be trying to roll more dice as opposed to few of them, and he just doesn't want to take chances. He is risk-averse in all of these ways. Five out, right? That's what they should be doing, just shooting a million threes, but Doc doesn't want to lose that way. He wants to lose his way, and so
he doesn't want to lose the Mike D'Antoni way. I don't think he knows how to go the Mike D'Antoni way, and I think what's going to happen if you suddenly do that is your team's going to get 160 scored on them, because they're not going to, they're going to have fun on the offensive side, but they're not going to do anything defensively. And that's basically it. Like, DeAndre Jordan is the closest thing to a deterrent they have on the roster that's not Embiid. And so I'm sure in practice, if he actually practices, that, you know, James Harden has a hard time going around that guy and those arms when he's getting to the rim. So Doc Rivers says, hey, it's probably going to affect a couple other people in the game too. 15 minutes. How's that going to really hurt? But it does. It really hurts because the Heat take big leads and then all of a sudden, you know.
Are we going to let Alabaster participate or not? Because I have more to say.
Thank you.
We all
do. This is just a quick one. This is just a quick one. And Pablo, of course, I agree that Pickle DJ should be put on ice at this point. But my question is they're 14 for 64 from three this series. They're giving them open threes with Harden kicking the ball out to them. Who do you want them to play? What's the five-out lineup that can hit threes and beat this Heat team?
Well, I think that they're okay. There may not. I know the question for Pablo. I'm cutting you off. The DeAndre Jordan issue is as much defense as it is offense. So, like, if you want people to hit threes, DeAndre Jordan ain't the guy. If you want people to protect the rim or be able to switch on the perimeter, DeAndre Jordan ain't the guy. So, like, this question or this conversation was about DeAndre Jordan, not necessarily about the optimal five out or whatever possession for James Harden. It's about, is DeAndre Jordan a problem? And I was waiting for someone to explain to me why he keeps putting him out there when it's obvious to even novice like me that he's not helping.
No, because Doc
that card's got to make you smile a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Doc, who is driving by feel, is claiming that he doesn't. He's saying that, quote, since there's a lot of analytical people out there in the world, that was our 12th best shot profile of the year, which means we didn't make shots, but we got great shots. And look,
wait, but he didn't actually say shot profile. What do you think he said? Because I had to put shot profile in parentheses. Absolutely. He probably just said something that was kind of close, but
yeah, face snap. He went one of those things. You know, talking about.
He just said. He just said it was our 12th best of the year.
Our
is what he
best
said.
Pro shot full.
This is a problem again because it's too close to where he threw his old team under the bus. Where essentially what he's saying is, I created good shots for these guys. I put them in offense that work, but they ain't hit them. I can't do nothing about that. Or he's saying Daryl Morey ain't got the right guys. I don't know what he's saying, but it's wrong, and he should stop saying it.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, Doc does a lot. And I guess the defense of Doc is this card that has just been laid down, which is, yes, it is true. The Sixers shot worse than 30% from three in back-to-back games in November. This is the only other time they've done it in these postseasons. Joel Embiid played in none of the games in question. And I guess my only point here, and then we can get the hell away from this because thankfully Joel Embiid is back, right? Just take 50 threes. Don't take 30 threes. Take 50 threes. Take a billion threes. Take all of
Celtic
the threes.
Celtic strategy?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
I mean, I get your point. That's like a popular way for like March Madness upsets to happen. The problem is this isn't March Madness. And maybe you steal a game, but you can't win like that.
I don't think you do the 53s thing. I think you make Tyrese Maxey your new James Harden. Let him be the more pick and roll creator and distributor and finisher at the rim because he's just better at
Izzy,
it.
Izzy, he kind of sees that title himself, right? Like he was playing like he had some MVP-ness. You know, he had almost 30 in game two. Took over the game.
Whatever it takes to get you right and whatever club you have to go to get your mind in the right place to perform, I'm fine with it. But
I wouldn't mind getting the hell off the Sixers. He had a butt. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'll follow your lead.
All right. Let's talk about the Heat for a second and what they're missing, by the way. The best charge taker in the league.
He had a butt.
Kyle Lowry. Okay. So there's more defense.
Speaking of guys who had
up,
a butt.
Okay.
Kyle Lowry.
And by the way, without Embiid, what do you have to do? You take advantage of that. Who took advantage of that? Bam Adebayo. Two great games against Philly. Did exactly what you need to do. And in that second game, really, it was a whole lot of Jimmy Butler trying to do too much early on, and then other people sort of took over after that. So, you know, if sort of they feel the read of the room, like there's pretty much nothing that the Sixers can do really to stop them. And I don't think Embiid's going to be that much of a defensive presence if he's, you know, masking and thumbing and everything else. So I think you're looking at 3-0 tonight.
Is that enough?
You guys done?
Is that enough?
Yep,
is that enough?
I'm good.
You good? Okay,
I'm good.
Great.
Yep.
Alabaster.
Okay, we can move on. Second topic. Do you think the Warriors will find a way to slow down Ja Morant tomorrow night?
And for all those people who think that guys like Max Strus and Gabe Vincent are just throw-ins and that's the reason that the Miami Heat aren't very good, if I told you Gabe Vincent was, say, Patty Mills, you'd say this roster is amazing. Gabe Vincent's better than Patty Mills right now. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go.
He is. I mean, it's true. They don't need him all the time. This is the only time. The Heat is probably the only time I can remember where a team actually had depth. I think we say and use their depth in the playoffs. We talk about teams as being deep, but when we get the playoffs, they tighten the lineups to a point where the depth doesn't matter. The Heat actually have depth, which is awesome for them to be healthy, but it's terrible for us to talk about because who wants to talk about Gabe Vincent? Like, I want to talk about Ja Morant.
All right, let's talk about Max Strus then. People don't think he can defend. It's only because he's white.
Exactly.
It's the only reason they don't think he can defend.
Who wants to talk about Max Strus?
Like, who wants to? I just love, by the way, that, like, yes, it's not fun to talk about. It's ridiculous that the Heat actually uses their bench. They use everybody except, of course, for Duncan Robinson.
Oh, of course. Poor Dunkey.
Unbelievable.
Poor Dunkey.
Unbelievable.
Is his defense really bad? Because, like, I know
Miami no longer runs on Duncan. They switched to Starbucks. It's great.
Did it ever? I don't think they use this cafecito, based on my extensive research from listening to
Levitard. A lot more Northeast transplants since 2020.
That's cafecito Spanish for cocaine?
I don't know, Pablo. You speak Spanish, right?
I do. See. Okay, so the Ja question is also, do you think the Warriors will find a way to slow down Ja Morant tomorrow night? The answer to that is not C. It is absolutely no. Like, the Gary Payton Jr. end of it, right? Like, to catch you up on this, he's out for a month. He's the only guy, and to use Dominique's phrase, which is now just rattling inside of my brain forever, he's the only credible defender of Ja Morant on the team. He was 3-for-8, Ja, against Gary Payton II, not Gary Payton Jr., as we discovered 2 days ago.
Oh, I read the whole article. People. I got off of here.
I got a story about that we'll get to at the end.
There's a Bleacher Report article that I'm assuming that's where Alabaster got that information from. Read it all. Then in my group chat with some of my basketball friends who, like, played in the NBA and stuff, dropped it on them. They didn't know. And I was the star of the group chat. Like, did you know?
That's what while we're here, is. Make you while we're the star here. Of your group chat. That's what we promised to do.
I mentioned that during a break and around the horn the other day. And Frank Isola told this great story about he was with his family, I believe, in, I think, Orlando. It was somewhere. Maybe it was a more exotic location than that. But they were at a hotel resort, da-da-da. His young daughter comes back, and he goes, Daddy, it was so cool. I was playing with these kids, and there was this one kid named Gary Payton, and there was this other kid also named Gary Payton. And I was just like, you've got to be kidding me, Frank. Like, that's unbelievable. You've known that this entire time.
I hope Junior is really good at something else.
Oh, no. Like, I used to think
Junior is like an artist. I hope Junior is like, goes to Regents High School. I don't know. But, like, I hope he's got something else going, because it would be tough.
I hope Junior doesn't try to Google himself ever, is my main takeaway. Because you're not finding anything about you, buddy.
Yeah, I had that incident. Did you see Marcus Smart next to Al Horford's son, and people thought Al Horford's son was, like, a baby? You didn't see that?
No.
So there was a tweet where somebody, like, there was a picture of Al Horford's son standing next to Marcus Smart. Somebody tweeted out, like, damn, Baby Horford's already tall as Marcus Smart. And then Baby Horford responded with, bruh, I'm 24.
Wow.
The interwebs. Ja Morant, no. Wow. They should have
Hell
last
no.
game. I would have wondered. I mean, they weren't able to stop him. Down the stretch, he took all the shots. And Steve Kerr is very smart. Respected coach who, like, unlocked the Warriors offense. I guess it was by mistake or by injury that they ended up with Draymond. But anyway, the point is, we respect Steve Kerr as a coach.
Yes.
Why didn't they double him at any point? Give him another look. Like, make him do something different. He's at home having a ball, doing everything he wants, and y'all just watching like, we can shoot. We can just keep shooting.
No, the way that Miami defended James Harden is how the Warriors should be trying, in my amateur opinion, to defend Ja.
Ooh,
like, Dominique's right. They didn't throw, here is Steve Kerr on whether the Warriors will double team Ja. Quote, it's on the menu. Why the hell haven't you ordered off the menu yet?
It's always
well,
been on
so
the menu.
So far, they've been enjoying things. Like, it was a 1-point game. You know, it was like, all right, he'll have his theatrics. We'll finish the game off, and we'll just go back to, you know, San Francisco up 2-0. But I think, maybe in the last possession or two, switch up, you know, give him a little different
Blitz
look.
Show.
And I think maybe it could have worked. But I think what you're seeing here with the Warriors is like this whole concept of them being, you know, the Warriors, even before KD, if you go to a death lineup that even includes Harrison Barnes, like, that was defense. Like, there was defense there, whether it be Draymond Green, Klay Thompson at his peak, Kevin Durant. This group can't defend that way. Draymond can. The rest of them can. This isn't old Klay Thompson either. And so Andrew Wiggins is a very capable defender, a plus defender, but still probably not Andre Iguodala in terms of defense. And so I think, you know, you look at this team, and I think teams think that they can attack him. And who's the best guy in the paint in the league is Ja Morant. And so I think he's going to have a field day until they do something absolutely different.
And Poole is not a defender either, as we saw Ja Morant make highlights on him. I think at one point, I think – Curry's considered now like average to slightly above average defender.
But at one point
he was the worst defender on their lineup of death. Like, he's not that anymore. It's like, he might be better than Klay, maybe just because he's shorter, maybe he's not. He's definitely better than Jordan Poole. Like, it's hard when you gotta hide a bunch of people on defense. So I'll take my words back. I'll defend Steve Kerr, because you have to remember that Ja Morant hit like 5 threes, which they were like backing off of him.
Yes.
Like, if he's going to hit those shots, they're going to win. And like, he played a out of his mind game, and you have to assume, and they were still in it. So you have to assume that maybe they should take it off the menu, the doubling.
No. I mean, look, Ja, yeah, he was 5-for-12 from three in that game. He was 9-for-23 in the series. He was 4-for-20 against the Timberwolves. That was their strategy. Just sag off of him, make him shoot.
Right.
And at this point, I think,
but what I don't understand,
strategy needs to change.
Is maybe you guys saw this also. I also watched the sag off. What's the point in sagging off if he can also get to the basket?
Well, this is the other question of, like, how do you make Ja Morant go right, because he's going left on 70% of his drives as of game two. 20 of 26 go left. 68% of his drives on the season go left. Like,
I watched a bunch of his drives in that game, and I heard people saying that, and I don't have as much of a problem with him getting to his left as I have a problem with him getting to the lane if you're sagging off. So, like, no one is quick enough to stay in front of him. So, like, he's not a terrible player. Like, he's not like me on my left hand. So, like, you force me to my left hand, then I might throw it off my foot. Like, you can't just completely shade him to the point where you give him his right. He can still get back left. He's that quick. So
he
like
can still spin left, spin right easily.
It's not fair to say, like, take away his left, because they don't have anybody who can make it hard on him to his right.
It's fair, Izzy, right? Like, you pointed this out. Like, he's good at his right, too. About the same points per possession for the Grizzlies on the season for Ja, no matter which side of the court he's driving. But it just feels like you don't let him order off his menu whatever he wants all the time, right? He's ordering the same thing. Make him uncomfortable. Sure. Make him uncomfortable, whatever that means. Try something different.
Yeah, but maybe this is just like we're all finding out together, just like I was talking about with Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, that there is a depth to the Grizzlies. There's a reason they were this good. There's a reason they were that good without Ja, because we talk about, oh, let's just double him. Well, didn't Zaire Williams come in when Dylan Brooks got kicked out and hit a few threes? Don't we have Desmond Bane on there as, if he were on the Warriors, would be a third Splash Brother or a fourth Splash Brother? He's one of three players, Steph and Clay are the other two, to have consecutive games of 7 or more three-pointers. Like, they have weapons around him that can make you pay for all that stuff. So it's quite possible that this just becomes sort of a duel. Like, we'll just see, hey, can that team overcome this, you know, former 73-9 greatness? And maybe they can.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Izzy, are you still thinking that Desmond Bane's too jacked? His biceps are too strong?
Far too strong. Yes, I mean, he needs to chill. Like, seriously. Like, and I will say though that
hold on. I just saw your bicep as you readjusted yourself. You cannot
that was
talk
not an
about
accident.
Someone who needs to chill on their biceps. As I see those bulges.
Well, that's why he needs to chill. I'm sorry. I'm just gonna hold it. That's why he needs to chill. Okay, it's like there's a reason. There's something that I sort of am a little bit known for. So
muscular hands.
Relax. He's already a professional athlete.
Unless Desmond Bane lays down on a train track, Izzy cannot even begin to critique a bicep.
I mean, I think the more we talk about it, I think the right thing to do is not to double Ja Morant, or at least not consistently. I think maybe they should throw it at him every now and then, just to mix him up. But I feel like you're better served trying to corral Ja Morant inside than giving up open threes to the three-point shooters that they have regularly. Like, your advantage as the Warriors, supposedly, is that you shoot better than everyone else. So your points per possession should be higher than Ja's if you had a healthy Gary Payton II.
But what did you like? What did you think of what the Timberwolves did, which is essentially early on decided to be physical, like they were overt about it.
Right.
And the Warriors, they don't really do that. I don't know if they don't have the personnel for that. Can they do
Draymond
that?
Draymond already has a flagrant two. Draymond, that guy. He already has a flagrant two.
Yeah, and I don't think I see what you're saying, but I also think that they don't. That's not the game that they want to play. You start doing that to the Grizzlies, then it starts happening to your guys too. Like I think the Timberwolves.
It's already happened to them. Right, it's already happened.
But they don't have guys flying to the rim the way Ja does. So it's a scarier moment when you're talking about being physical with that guy. And that's where you had those moments in the Timberwolves series.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about the players that the Timberwolves have, like. Anthony Edwards is a football player. Like, really? He was, like, one of the best football players in the state. Right. Like, he's built like it. He plays like it. He's fine. And as people talk about Karl-Anthony Towns not being aggressive, he's still big as hell. And Patrick Beverley is not scared of physical play. So, I mean, I'm not sure you look at that roster of the Warriors. You got Draymond, and I'm not sure any of the rest of them want to be knocking
down. You know what they need to do? Yeah, they need to bring in – Wow. They need to bring in Gary Payton Jr.
Oh, man.
Just see try it, man. See what he got. What's the worst that can happen?
We're sort of dismissing it as, you know, we're just talking the joke about his brother, but that's a huge loss for them. Like the athleticism he brings, the fast break ability he brings, the lob in the half court option, you know, because a lot of guards are caught off by that stuff. Like, it's not a small deal that he's out. And, you know, Dylan Brooks, I think the Warriors are going to have a big offensive game in this first and probably take a 2-1 lead. But Dylan Brooks only missing the one game, I don't think is very fair.
No, Gary Payton Jr. plays big in a small package.
Okay, I got a question for you guys.
That sincerely as a basketball analysis.
I was clearing out for Alabaster, not to let your joke land or your not joke land.
I got a question for you guys, and that is, why don't they put Kuminga or Wiggins on Morant and try that? Like, we've seen these super athlete guys. Is it just that Wiggins can't focus for a game like that, doesn't have the heart to do it? But why not try the 19-year-old who's a freak athlete, who's 6'8",
to
move laterally?
I mean, I'm more interested in the Wiggins shots
switching everything, though. It's unless they're going against their switching defense, then Ja's just going to hunt down the right person. Like, it's never, unless you're talking about late in the shot clock, maybe. You know, but if you force it, you know, but I don't see the initial individual matchup being much of an issue because they're so intent on switching everything.
I would like to see the experiment of just like, you know, but this goes back to the whole philosophical question about like, what is defense? Is it just how much of it is athleticism and how much is actually something more? Because you're right. Kuminga is one of the great athletes in the league.
Yeah. I mean,
so is John Morant, and he's not a great defender.
It's a good point. Dominique, by the way, full disclosure, has been going through it, you know, tested positive the other day. How you feeling, man? You
doing right? I mean, HIPAA. Jeez.
Violation.
I feel fine. Just,
dad should have taught you better, man.
Yeah, I feel fine. I was going to say that, like, just to push back on what Izzy said a little bit, is if they just switch, then – who cares if Gary Payton II is healthy or not? If they could just switch. So, like, there is some value to
I was thinking more of the offensive end also.
Right. No, that's what I mean. Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah, so I don't know. It's worth a shot because 47, that ain't going to fly.
47, 8-8. Alabaster/Mr. Cellophane. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, he just came off of a series where he said, I don't feel like Ja right now. And he didn't say he was hurt. It was just because of basically the way he was being played. And so if the Warriors have that in them, they're going to have to show it at some point because he might just continue to do this and force the issue.
Mm. So
Can I ask a question about his daddy?
Yeah. Oh, T. Morant.
Yes. If you had a son doing what John Morant's doing, I mean, what would your behavior be like, Pablo? I'll start with you. I mean, I just wonder.
I don't know if I would be all up in this many videos.
Okay, gotcha. So you go Suge Knight strategy? You're not going full P. Diddy?
I think that's right. T. Morant reminds me of like when I used to watch Manny Pacquiao, he'd have an entourage of 50,000 people, but there's always one guy.
50,000?
In the boxing ring, it would be like the entirety of the Philippines hanging out, mobbing.
Is he still the president?
He might be soon, which is a problem for everybody.
Yeah,
he made him the president.
He was like a what was it, Duterte? President. It's even worse, right?
I don't want to talk about him.
We're not going to talk about Filipino politics. No.
Not while
autocrats. We're not doing autocrats. No, not today. Dictators.
Not while I'm not totally secure in the safety of people in the Philippines at the moment.
Respect.
But T. Morant is the guy in the boxing entourage who always is conspicuously standing and finding the camera and just staring right into it.
Yeah.
Like, his love of screen time does make me... It's adorable and also kind of a little much now, man. You're like, you're bigger than this.
I think the problem is that it's... The personality that made him interesting and lovable is also the same personality trait that makes it get a little old. Like, he was like seeking the attention. He's like, that guy's fun. And now he's like seeking the attention. And we're like, oh, chill out.
I don't think I would be fishing for attention. I'm not really an attention, you know, grabber. I think I would just say to myself, Dominic, what's that look for? I'm sorry.
Why is the silhouette not on the fourth screen yet? There's so many opportunities to throw down.
You're not an attention grabber?
Those are private. Those are private photographs.
Forget the train tracks. They got leaked.
They were going to the Supreme Court. It was very much private. Private photos.
You're a costumer. Like, I've seen your Halloween costumes. Right. You are trying to win every single
doing
Halloween.
It for the team.
Oh, okay.
Doing it for the team. Okay. Come on, okay. Rising tide.
And
man.
I used to think you were self-aware.
Look at what Sarah Spain has become on Halloween. I take full credit for that. I feel great about that. I pat myself on the back privately, not on a fake television show. I do that privately.
Sarah Spain is your Ja Morant.
And if that was the case, and which I would love to do here, Pablo, you just sort of failed me a little bit in that respect. I was hoping it would be you. I would just try to have a bunch more kids, because dang it, if another one or two end up like this, this is gonna be the life. And so that's how I would treat it if I were the dad. Just try to create more Jaws or more Sarah Spades. You know, Pablo, you were on a roll there, Halloween. I feel like you just kind of gave up.
I did give up. I had a literal child and lost all ability to... okay, you're pointing at Giannis.
Because I won when I shouldn't have won. You should have beat me one year, and you're like, F that. That's skewed. F Tony Reale. I'm done with this.
I agree.
Probably what happened.
I agree. Okay. But the Genghis Khan School of Fatherhood... That Izzy just espoused. I do feel like there's something to that. All right. I still don't know how we didn't get Izzy on a train track as a cutout card. Dominique is
well. Are we going to go full HIPAA violations then? Because we probably know why.
Oh, what's he doing? What do you think he's doing?
Well, you know who's. Wait, actually, now I don't know the answer. No, I do know the answer to this. Alabaster's not. Not the card giver.
That's right.
Oh, Mr. Cellophane is the card giver. Yeah. Mr. Cellophane. You all right, buddy?
Sorry.
You guys ready for that?
So I changed batteries to dead batteries. So then I had to change again to some new batteries. Yawn me.
All right, let's recharge. Giannis, what do you got? Alabaster / Mr. Cellophane.
All right, our question. Do you expect Giannis to figure out the Celtics defense in game 3?
Right on time with the card put down, Sally.
Well played. I do. I do. And it's funny to hear Mike Budenholzer, the coach of the Bucks, talk about this, because it sort of emphasizes like why Giannis and any superstar of his caliber, which is a very, 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 very small group of like 3 people, maybe, if that, why they're so important. It's because Mike Budenholzer's quote about this is like, yeah, Giannis will figure it out. It's like, okay, great. What an employee
to have. They
kind of
pay Mike to do that.
Yeah, what an employee to have. Giannis will figure this out. He always does, is basically the quote. And as crazy as it is to outsource any responsibility for solving this problem, it's also kind of true.
What is there to figure out?
Yeah, no, it's true. Well, I was going to say, like, but I think what really this comes down to, so Giannis figuring it out is, it's not like the Celtics are going to stop giving him all this attention. Giannis figuring it out is, man, please make that 3 when I kick it out to you. And if a bunch of guys hit some threes, then that's going to mess with the Celtics defense, and the Bucks are going to be as good as they possibly can be offensively. And in reverse, it's pretty much what happened to the Celtics. Game one, they weren't making those threes, and they got frustrated, just tried to jack up a bunch more, didn't really work out. Game two, they worked the offense a little bit more, but still hit shots that made them feel good. Not as good for the Bucks. Boom, that's what happened. So I think the team that starts off hitting the more threes and really opening up the offense and really collapsing the defense, I think is going to win that game. And I think Giannis is probably, now that I, you know, sort of play this out, probably best suited to be the orchestrator of that for four games, more so than Tatum and Brown, who I still have moments where I fear if the offense is not going well for like half of a quarter, they're going to revert back to the it's me or nothing type of basketball. And I don't think it's going to, you know, suit the Celtics very well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my question is, what is there to figure out for Giannis? Because it doesn't seem like there's something new. And Giannis isn't LeBron. Like, that's not his game. He's not Chris Paul. He's not dissected and figure out that way. Like, what he figured out last year was hyperextend my knee and then score 50 points no matter who they put in front of me. Like, that seemed to be the thing to figure out. So if he's going to go up a level like he did last year in the playoffs, yeah, they'll be fine. If he's not, they won't. Because it's, from my amateur viewing, it doesn't seem like they're doing some big new fancy strategy. They got guys who are sturdy and quick enough to give Giannis a hard time.
Well, so look, the Giannis will figure it out. Tradition comes from the fact that last postseason, down 0-2 to the Nets, he comes back and is insane, right? Yep. More insane even than Kevin Durant in that series, who was transcendent. And then, as Dominique pointed out, yes, hyperextend the knee, down 0-2 to the Phoenix Suns, and you come back and you win the championship. And so it is Giannis...
50 piece from Chick-fil-A.
That's right. That's right. And so Giannis, like, what the Celtics are doing to him and why he's missed now 15 field goal attempts in back-to-back games for the first time in his career, which is a credit to the Celtics, certainly in large part. What they are doing is they're saying, hey, Grant Williams, hey, Al Horford, take him one-on-one, and we're going to figure it out around that. And can Giannis figure that aspect out? Yes, that's the fundamental and very simple question is, yes, he will pass to his shooters, and they will hit more than, and this is absurd, more than the three threes they hit in game two. It was like the second largest disparity in three-point shooting in NBA playoff history, right? So there's anomalies everywhere here, but the center of it is still that dude just figuring out how to overpower you.
They definitely went to that more of, hey, try to beat me one-on-one. And if you're going to go to that for seven games, I think he's going to get not only more comfortable with it, where he's not going to just shoot, you know, 15-foot fadeaways, but he's just going to get to the line a ton. And he's probably going to get comfortable there if he does it enough. And so, like, I think you saw a different and so, yeah, this is, if Giannis is going to figure it out, it's, you're going to get all kinds of defense. When are you going to see it? Can you predict it? And can you make the right play from there? And again, when he went all Shaq-like against the Suns with, you know, a broken leg, I think, you know, he saw it. He said to himself, worst case scenario, I can just get in the paint and beast. And that was with DeAndre Ayton. And so I do think against Robert Williams, he can still do something similar.
Yeah, look, the Celtics are going to mix up coverages. They're going to sometimes double team, sometimes not. They'll try to confuse him. But Giannis is the sort of guy, Mr. Cellophane / Alabaster, where, yeah, he was terrible at shooting free throws. Remember, they were counting down in arenas, 12, 11, 10, and now he's just, like, confident at it. So him figuring it out is actually, like, a pretty remarkable thing in terms of his skill set on a month-to-month basis, too.
Guys, can I give you guys a take that I think is going to probably age incredibly poorly when Giannis plays really well tonight?
Ideal. Quick game of take it or leave it.
Okay, so remember in 2014 when Boris Diaw guarded LeBron? And we're all like, why is this, you know, chubby espresso drinking guy able to somewhat stop the greatest athletic force we've ever seen? And now we're seeing it with Grant Williams on Giannis. I think with guys like this, because of their lack of jump shooting, length doesn't matter. You need a beefcake in the middle to keep him out of the paint. And Grant Williams
might
be the perfect guy.
PJ Tucker, Grant Williams,
I don't think that's I think you're misusing beefcake, by the way, but I get your point. Cuz I thought beefcake
was
the cake is literally beefy
in this case, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess he's being literal, like it's a cake of beef, not like colloquial beefcake is a sexy man. Like Izzy's a beefcake, but I guarantee you Izzy don't got nothing for Giannis in the paint. This is my opinion.
No, if he's in the paint, he's already dunking on me and I'm staring at his knees. Yeah, I do think, like, the, you know, the Grant Williams, like, the P.J. Tucker, like, short typewriter feet, like, would probably be great offensive linemen, I think, are the perfect type of defender for Giannis. Again, eventually, he can still make a move or two and draw fouls. I just think, like, he'll settle for the jumper until he misses a couple, and then all of a sudden he'll, as we asked, figure it out. And so, yeah, I don't think there's any singular defender. Like, Jason Tatum's probably the best matchup for him, but covering, you know, Kevin Durant when you're sure he's going to pull up from 18 feet is entirely different than, you know, a guy coming at you head first to the rim and he's all arms and legs.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the Middleton issue is what keeps rising up, because the point that you guys are making is that he needs to pass out to open shooters.
Yeah, Middleton's huge here.
Yeah, pass out to open shooters, which also they're not double teaming him often enough for that to be like the complete diet. And so to ask Giannis to do as much, be the facilitator, and also be like the number one scoring option is a lot to ask him when you're also asking him to be like the anchor of the defense. It's really nice to have Middleton to throw him the ball every now and then. Take a couple possessions for me and give the defense something else to worry about. And maybe Grant Williams has to go over there. Or maybe Tatum is over there. It changes.
Or Chris
the whole
Middleton
dynamic.
Runs the pick and roll with Giannis as the screener, and then it's just a nightmare. Which is why I think that, you know, Drew Holiday pretty much in these home games needs to really, you know, put his stamp on this series and just be the clear, you know, second best player on their team. Give you 25 and 10, and that's how I think, you know, that really opens up the offense for Giannis.
Mm. We've had very little James Harden nightlife in this episode.
I know. When Alabaster was talking about how length doesn't matter, I was like, is that a thing?
Oh.
I guess, you know, like, I could make that into a thing.
That would be a very unpopular strip club.
I know.
Well, I mean, it might be. Maybe it's talking about the clientele, not the performance.
I don't think I'd want to go there either, then.
You have to go in with your hood up.
But if you go there, and you don't realize that that's what you're going to. It's just like, wait a second. I shouldn't be here.
Oh. You run into a coworker like, oh, I didn't know this was – I thought this was Chipotle.
I didn't know you had a – I'm sorry.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of a big and tall store. But a strip club.
All right. Yeah, I think we completed that course. Dessert time. Oh, we ain't done whodunit in a while.
Yeah, we're doing a couple rounds of whodunit. That's the game where we'll give you a quote. You guys have a minute to come together and tell us whodunit.
Ooh-wee.
Look at those arms. Beefcake.
Speaking of of flamboyant beefcakes. Look at that. Oh, Jesus.
All right, guys. First quote.
And beefy.
I completely understand younger basketball fans embracing the three. It's all they know. What they don't know is how much better the game was without it. And your choices are A,
Bob Ryan.
Bob Ryan. Stop the show.
Bob Ryan.
I don't even know if I'm right, but
it's
Bob
Simmons.
Ryan.
Who knows?
Yeah, it could have been Ben Simmons or Bill Simmons, but I'm going to say Bob Ryan.
Yeah,
we all agree
on
that.
Bob Ryan, final answer.
The question is, was it a tweet or was it a CNN interview? It was a tweet. Okay.
Oh, do we have the CNN imagery as well? Because it's the context that's important to understand and appreciate. It's not. There it is.
I'm sure that was preceded by like a question mark or like an ampersand tweet, because Bob was the king of the pocket tweets back then.
Oh, Bob would just tweet Q sometimes before Q on. And it was just
seriously. Imagine how crazy that would be if he did that 10 years later. He'd be like, Bob? Really?
Bob Ryan, definitely driving by feel, by the way.
He hates your GPS. I don't need that.
Oh, my Lord.
Never going to learn the city that way.
That's right. Oh, you'll never appreciate how much fun driving was now that you have this GPS.
He's also not right. I don't know. Like, I occasionally go back. It's not often, but recently I've gone back to look at like some older basketball games.
Oh, what's that like?
They aren't better. Like I got an emulator a year ago, which like a video game emulator.
Yeah, what systems are you using?
I was so hyped. It had all the systems. It had Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, had GoldenEye, it had Contra. It had no, you don't. That's what I'm here to tell you. The memory was so much better. I'm telling you. I promise you. Really? I was so excited. I hooked it up, playing Tyson Punch-Out with my son. Tried to do Double Dragon with him, Contra, all the games. And then
so it's
I
not
tried
better
to play
with less buttons.
Throw some chains. I try
to play GoldenEye.
That's a strip club name for James Harden. Yeah.
I try to play GoldenEye. Those games are garbage. Pablo, play it. Play it. Do you play like Call of Duty or something, like a modern version of it?
The last game I played, you know, is like Red Dead Redemption 2. Seriously, okay. Which is like an immersive 4K. Yeah,
okay.
Like,
okay,
you're telling me the pixels are bigger than I remember?
It's not even about the pixels as much. Like, I can deal with the poopy graphics. It's like the simplicity of the game. We've gotten used to like complex stuff, and that's the same thing in these games. Like those games were so much more simple, and it's not as good. I'm sorry, Bob.
Guys, can I read you a follow-up tweet from Bob Ryan? He continued to go down that thread and said, "I couldn't be more correct. The three-point shot has ruined basketball, period." Actual period.
Okay, can we do that thing where we just, like, edit popular GIFs on the show? And instead of Steph Curry, just, like, can we just rail on something else that's actually ruining basketball? Like, the take foul? Like, can we get rid of that for all time? Not calling traveling, like, the whole idea of, like, oh, I was still, I wasn't under the ball or I wasn't on the gather. It's like, come on, like, you're clearly carrying the ball like you're traveling. Like, that's what's ruining the game. The three-pointer? Come on.
We're doing that. Okay, this is the Izzy's gears getting ground segment of Debatable. Yes. Wait a minute. Are you a person who's saying to yourself, Ja Morant is carrying the ball too much?
Yep.
Are you one of those guys?
No. It's not that I get that part. Like the Allen Iverson shift, like I'm fine with that part. It's just all the steps on the gather and stuff. Like somebody's taken five steps and he's like, oh, I haven't gathered the ball yet. But you took five steps. Like how have you not gathered the ball? That's clearly traveling. That to me just drives me nuts. It's I like the Bob Ryan is like the really old man yelling at the clouds.
Tingling.
I'm kind of like a 45-year-old salt and pepper yelling at like the birds flying underneath the clouds, something like that. But we're there. Like, trust me, we had so many more better fast break moments if you didn't have the stupid take foul allowed. Like, how are we allowing that still?
You are a junior, Bob Ryan. Now we know.
It stinks!
20 years from now, we're going to have whatever the new version of media is. They're going to be making fun of Izzy because he's upset about the too many gather steps.
CNN, my phone number is 305-7... Sorry.
Oh, don't give him the real one. 555-555-55. Hey, Pablo, right. Did you give any Mother's Day wishes? Did anybody tweet
you? Oh, yeah. So shout out to our audience. It is Mother's Day weekend. Shout out to all the moms out there. For instance, to Jill and Mrs. Primus, shout out to you. Happy Mother's Day.
Nice.
Marcy H., happy Mother's Day. Barb, happy Mother's Day.
Ooh,
Nettie.
Shout out, Barb.
Nettie. Happy Mother's Day to
you.
The most motherly sounding mother I've heard in a long time. Nettie, shout out to you. It's an awesome name. And no, I'm not going to give a shout out to Amanda Hug and Kiss, which is, you know, I know what you're doing there. Good try.
So, I will.
Good. Hi, Mom. Look at that handwriting. Your mother can't be proud of that handwriting. She's so disappointed.
Lord. What'd you do, bye, Dominique? Guys. What do you got? You got flowers for... Coach, you there? You don't want to spoil a surprise?
Yeah, that's why.
He's quarantined until Monday.
That's why
conveniently.
I don't have anything to tell you because I don't want to ruin it. The big surprise.
I got a Mother's Day candle.